Yo, Chad, what if I told you there's a platform that could completely revolutionize your hiring strategy in a matter of hours?
Yeah, I'd call bullshit.
Well, it's not bullshit with AI for jobs powered by our friends at This Way Global.
Okay, I'm listening.
While everyone else is fishing in the same old talent pools, AI for jobs can source over 160 million diverse candidate profiles. This Way Global has established unique partnerships with over 8,500 trusted diversity partners.
So wait a minute. All of the hard on the groundwork is already done.
That's right, cowboy. You can discover 300 qualified candidates per job rec instantly.
Wow.
It's like having a candidate sourcing magic wand.
Dude, if you had a magic wand, you would have Mexican pizzas all day.
Stop distracting me, Sowash. AI for Jobs advanced matching algorithm analyzes past applicants using trillions of historical matching events and over 1,600 data points.
Now that is what AI should be doing, saving recruiters time on sourcing while they provide a white glove candidate experience.
Let's wrap this shit up. I'm hungry.
Listen up, kids. Revolutionize your hiring process today by jumping over to thiswayglobal.com and checking out AI for Jobs, where you can learn more about how to leverage AI for your recruiting instead of just writing poems and grocery lists.
That is thiswayglobal.com. We out.
Hide your kids. Lock the doors. You're listening to HR's most dangerous podcast. Chad Soash and Joel Cheeseman are here to punch the recruiting industry right where it hurts. Complete with breaking news, brash opinion, and loads of snark. Buckle up, boys and girls. It's time for the Chad and Cheese Podcast.
Hey, it's Chad. And today we have a special edition of the Chad and Cheese Podcast for you. That music can only mean one thing, a Swedish twist, as Sarah Dosfeld, head of brand and community over at Adway, invited Joel and myself to come on her show to talk about building a TA powerhouse through tech, automation, and revenue growth. That's right, revenue growth. With over 1,800 people registered for this show, Joel and I knew that we had to bring the heat. So we did. Enjoy.
Good morning, good evening, and good afternoon from Sweden, and welcome to this month's live stream with Adway on the topic, Build Your TA Powerhouse with Tech, Automation, and Showcasing Revenue Growth. We are finally back, and we have over 1,800 signups, so we'll give you, everyone, a couple of minutes to get settled. And in the meantime, if you're excited, fire away with emojis, show your energy, and let us know where you're tuning in from. For anyone that's new, my name is Sarah. I'm a part of Adway, and we do automated social recruitment marketing, enabling a 24/7 storytelling experience in social media to attract your most desired candidates, fully automated while leaving the bias out. Now, everyone, for the moment you've been waiting for, the coming 30 minutes will be a game-changing live stream featuring the ultimate disruptors of TA. They fearlessly challenge the status quo in recruitment, boldly embrace cutting-edge TA strategies, and relentlessly advocates for the power of TA to drive business success. So this is your moment to learn from the trailblazers who are shaking up the industry and transforming the way we approach talent acquisition. I introduce to you, ladies and gentlemen, the most requested guests of the show, the cheesiest TA duo, Chad and Cheese, aka Chad Joes and Joel Cheeseman.
Pleasure to be here. Did you say cheers? Did you say 1,800?
I said 1,800, yeah. What do you think?
A lot of unemployed recruiters that have time. They didn't watch this.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Game to the changing, Chad. That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. How about that intro, guys? Like, that sets the scene, right?
Yeah.
That's it.
We're here to underperform and overpromise.
You should be our hype girl, that's for sure.
Yeah. 100%.
There's a nightclub, by the way.
Yeah. Before we jump into the intros about you guys, let me just remind everyone watching live with us that if you comment summary, you'll be sent the full summary with all the key takeaways and the recording. So bomb away in the comment section if that is in your interests. So, Joel and Chad, you've been the North Star for TA for years, at least Adway's and mine. But for anyone who's new to you, can you tell us how you're changing and disrupting the industry of TA and what you're doing to help us get even smarter and wiser?
It's a low bar for disruption. That's how we do it.
Oh, no.
I don't know. I mean, I'll let Chad. You can see both of our bios everywhere online. Obviously, a lot of people are connected on LinkedIn to us. But, I mean, we're just old guys that have been around and have history. Yeah, we're old, Chad. Sorry. And we have perspective. We've seen a lot of stuff. We can bring historical context to what's going on, which helps you predict the future, which gives you the ability to sort of analyze current things in a way that a lot of people that have been in the industry for just a few years don't have. I think we're lucky enough that we have some chemistry, whether it's a grumpy kind of old guy chemistry, I don't know. We definitely have a face for podcasting and just kind of on a whim and both of our wives telling us to do something with our lives. We bought a couple mics and started a podcast and here we are. 6 years
here
later,
we are.
Believe it or not.
Yeah,
here we are. Well, and I mean, and we don't report to anybody, so we don't have bosses other than our wives. And so we're not afraid to say what everybody else is thinking. And that's a problem with our industry mainly is that, you know, we think a certain thing, but we're afraid to say it because of being PC or whatever the guideline is, right? So it's speaking truth to power. A lot of times we see a lot of stupid shit that happens in the industry and everybody points at it, but nobody says anything. Mm. It's our job to say something. So we have people that now, I mean, almost like insiders at many organizations who help us to be able to dig up what's actually happening in some of these situations. So it's been a blast. I mean, our following has been really a cult following. They wear t-shirts. We send them booze. We send them beer. So yeah, I mean, this is about what we feel. Two middle-aged white guys feel like the industry needs. We need truth. And so we try to bring it, you know, we do our best, put it that way.
And honestly, it's as rewarding for us as hopefully our listeners that do listen. The fact that we're on a video call with Sweden from our homes in Indiana to the rest of the world is just a fascinating thing to sort of digest.
It's peaking, guys.
But it's an honor to do what we do, frankly. And there's probably even more joy in what we do than the people who listen and love our show.
And I'm happy to say that honor is all also ours. Like, we've been following you since day one of Adway. We're just a 5-year company though, but I mean, you're the way you are approaching and like, just not because I mean, we love talking, right? It's an industry with a lot of talks, a lot of seminars, a lot of sit downs, a lot of roundtables. But you guys are like, you know, demanding action, and I love that. That's what we love about you guys as well. So that takes us into today's topic, where we're sort of gonna describe the ultimate way of building your TA powerhouse. Like utilizing automation tech and of course showcasing revenue growth. So if I were just like straight up asking you, like, what is your recommendations on how TA can and should build the most resilient TA setup built upon these three factors, what would your short answer be?
So Pete, we get asked this a lot. A little historical perspective, like I mentioned in my intro there, you know, this game used to be pretty simple. Mm-hmm. It used to be post some jobs. Where do I post them? Well, okay, here's some good places where you can do that. Okay, they go into a little ATS, you interview them, schedule some shit. I mean, it was pretty straightforward. And your options were pretty limited in terms of your strategy. Today, it's so fucking confusing. I mean, Chad and I, I'm sorry, can you F-bomb on this show? I guess I just did, no matter what. Sorry. My LinkedIn profile is now gone, apparently. No, but everyone wants like a silver bullet for Chad and I to drop on them that's going to solve all their problems. And there is no silver bullet to solve all their problems. It's very custom. It's very localized. It's very business specific. Now, there are great tools out there like G2, your own network. Obviously, there are podcasts, blogs, you know, YouTube channels all over the place talking about this stuff, but you have to do your homework. You have to do your due diligence to find the tools that are going to work best for you. I think for me, the tech stack and being successful really goes back to three things that if you don't have these foundational pieces, it doesn't matter if you do have a silver bullet, it's ultimately going to fail. And one of those things is simply treat people like human beings. We treat people so often as resources. We're ghosting people. The application process sucks. So, I mean, just treating people well is number one in the mission here. Number two is pay them well. Treat them well, pay them well. We're fortunate, at least in America, where pay transparency is trending. Yeah. And your inability to not tell people what you're paying them is quickly going away. So paying them a good wage. And number three is giving people hope, you know, that they're not stuck where they are, that they can move upwards. Upskilling is a huge topic on our show. Mm-hmm. But if people feel like they're in a dead end, you know, go nowhere opportunity, they're going to leave. So if you don't have treat people well, pay them well, and give them hope, it doesn't matter how good your technology is, it's going to fail.
Yeah, absolute foundation. Yep.
Yeah. And Joel, in doing the homework, that's what we at least help organizations do their homework, or at least start to look in different areas where they should be smarter. They should be focusing. And in our industry, we set up systems that last for years, and that is wrong.
Yeah.
We need to be fluid. People are fluid. The market's fluid. Everything is fluid, but yet we buy a piece of tech and we just let it sit there and fester. And it becomes an open wound. And then we point at it and say, we have shitty tech and it's the vendor's fault. No, it's not the vendor's fault. If you didn't do your due diligence up front, number one, and understand the capabilities of the tech, not to mention also roadmap, in those types of things, major due diligence. And then if you just let it sit there and you didn't provide the fluidity, right? Mm-hmm. Then that's a huge problem. And then, you know, how do we pay for it? We've got today, you know, we used to have an applicant tracking system and job boards. And that was it, right? Today we have so many different point solutions, so many different versions of tech stacks and things of that nature.
Yeah.
Then we have to be able to really understand business to pay for these things, right? We can't just do business and sit back like Oliver Twist and wait for more fucking gruel, because it's not going to happen. We have to be the business drivers. Not sales, not marketing, not we love, have to be.
Love this. And so many are also like just accepting the inherited tech setup. Like, we've inherited this. This is the system now. Yeah. No. You have to question that each day. Love it. And you guys, we as passionate we as we are, let me just jump into the first question where I'm like, really want your feedback. So if we start around like implementing automation in the recruitment process, I would just like to point out, yes, there's a lot of talk of the rise of AI and automation in recruitment. Companies are looking to streamline their hiring process while improving the digital candidate experience. So my first question would be, how would you say to most successfully implement automation in recruiting, including best practice selection in implementing technology and strategies for integrating automation into the existing workflows? So again, we sit with a lot of ERP system, open APIs, but where do we begin? Due diligence was really good.
What a very Swedish question in like 8 different parts.
Sorry.
Remember, we're Americans. Keep it simple.
He asks questions. Whatever.
Yeah, keep it simple. I love the term streamline hiring, which basically means to me is companies are trying to find ways to get rid of you, recruiters. It's all over the news. Yeah, they would like to do it. You can argue whether they will or not. I would argue that there are certain processes which will be automated. I think where it becomes important is the augmentation part. You as a recruiter, look at your skill set. And if you think that your skill set can be replaced by automation, then you're not going to be in the recruiting profession for a very long time. However, if you learn to use the technology in a way that other people cannot, in other words, augment your current skills with technologies that are going to make you in a certain way, RoboCop, which is dating us because that's a movie from the 80s where there's like half robot, half cop is patrolling the mean streets of Detroit. That's how you're going to be successful, is learning how to augment your current skill set and work within that. I think there are going to be a lot of specialists. You're going to have people that are really, really good at you know, a certain vendor technology or a certain function or strategy. Think of like sourcing from back in the day. There are going to be people that learn how to use ChatGTP in unique ways that no one else knows. And those people are going to have jobs in the future. So I would just, to answer your question, I'll pass it on to Chad and we'll keep going down this road. But I think it's important to know that you're in a profession where they want to replace you. They look at you as a cost center, and we'll talk about that as to why you're not and how to justify your existence. But by and large, companies, you're kind of a pain in the ass and you're a cost center. So you got to find ways to prove yourself as a money-making machine and someone that's indispensable if you're going to survive in the future.
Yeah, I remember when Windows 3.1 came on the market, that was much like what we're talking about today. Recruiters needed to learn the new word processing and then get on the internet. This is nothing that's new, kids. We've been doing this since day one, right? These are just new pieces of technology. These are tools. And you have to remember that recruiting in itself is a job full of many tasks. Most of those tasks, maybe not most of them, but a good amount of those tasks are pains in the asses. They're administrivia. They're dull. It's horrible. Now, taking some of those tasks and being able to automate those tasks so that we can actually give the humans more time to provide white glove services, that is where we should be moving. So the fluidity of yesteryear and today, it's the same. It's just, we just have different names for the tools, right?
Yeah.
Now, when we're talking about integration and process methodology and those types of things, if you haven't blown up your entire process, re-engineered your process, and then started shopping different solutions, point solutions, and building your tech stack, what the hell are you doing? Fire yourself. Okay. Fire yourself right now. If you were still thinking in the same process methodology that you were 18 months ago, then you're not doing your job. So when it comes down to being able to build these new stacks, fluidity is everything. And again, we can't think of 18 months ago. We have to think about today and tomorrow. How do we put something in place that can be fluid to build for our next need? Because our need tomorrow is definitely not going to be our vital needs of today.
Quote, love it. And technology disclaimer, what I always like come back to is in TA, you don't have to be an AI expert. You don't have to be a data engineer. You don't have to be like a coder, but you have to be tech comfortable.
Yeah.
Let that sink in. That's a total difference, but tech comfortable means you know the questions to ask. You know the processes. You've been in Excel, you've built it, and you know what you are looking to augment, to quote.
And you're not afraid to ask. That's the big key here, right? Yeah. Don't act like you know when you don't.
They play hockey in Sweden, right? Pretty popular sport. So a guy named Wayne Gretzky, who probably everyone on the call knows, had Canadian, a great quote. Canadian. Don't go where the puck is, go where the puck is going. Chad's got a great point with Windows 3.1. But Windows 3.1 didn't write job descriptions like ChatGPT does. So whereas tech does stay similar in some ways, there is tech that does things now that's quite frankly a little bit mind-blowing. And frankly, not since like search and email and mobile stuff have I been personally as impressed with the opportunity that this technology has. So there's an element of like, you know, things, the more things change, the more they stay the same, but also be aware of where the puck is going, and going where the puck is will help you keep your job and be successful.
100%.
Okay, listener, how can you help your employees become more productive? I have answers. How about automating manual and repetitive tasks, giving meaning to data, then allowing that data to actually drive decisions? And how about matching people to your jobs quicker?
Well, wait. The Chad and Cheese has a new LLM?
No, Cheeseman. I'm talking about TextKernel.
Ah, okay. That makes more sense. What I'm hearing is the groundbreaking concept of, wait for it, simplicity. Seriously, though, TextKernel cuts through the complexities like a tortilla chip through some hot nacho cheese.
Oh my God. Really? Nacho references already. Anyways, TextKernel brings efficiency and productivity to your operations. TextKernel seamlessly unifies your tools and data to drive efficiencies and success.
TextKernel is creating new opportunities for your recruitment journey. Kind of like adding guac to my barbacoa burrito.
Oh my God. How about extracting meaningful insights from data? I mean, that's something. Swiftly matching people with jobs, automating repetitive tasks. Who knew such advanced concepts were even possible in the land of human resources?
We did, Chad. We did. Dude, wrap it up. I'm a little hungry.
Imagine that. Okay, listener. Get ready to use today's tech to drive efficiencies and productivity. Visit textkernel.com. That's TextKernel.com.
Nachos.
Are you struggling to attract the talent you need today? Do you lack visibility into where your recruitment ad dollars are really going? There's a better way. Acquire ROI is a programmatic job advertising platform built to optimize your budget and supercharge hiring. Acquire ROI automatically manages and measures recruitment ads across job boards, so you can allocate your budget based on insights, not hunches. Get to quality candidates faster and cost-effectively scale hiring across roles, all while gaining complete visibility and control over your recruitment marketing investments. Say goodbye to manual guesswork, inconsistent performance, and wasted spending. And hello to optimized automated campaigns that produce qualified applicants. At Acquire ROI, we make job advertising easy. Visit us at acquireroi.com and start transforming your talent acquisition today.
And just a reminder to everyone on the live stream, if you keep commenting summary, you will access all these key takeaways and the sources mentioned in this live stream. So keep
game-changing takeaways. Yes, is what we're
game-changing takeaways. Keep bombing in the comments section. Moving on, if I were to continue and ask how to leverage though the data-driven recruitment processes, and what I mean is data analytics, it's massively helping companies optimize the recruitment strategies, not like, you know, change out any recruiters, but optimize the better funnels for making better hiring decisions, you know, at the end. Could you guys discuss with us how to leverage data to identify talent trends, to measure the effectiveness of recruitment campaigns, and improve the candidate engagement?
Yeah, I mean, we have transparency today through data that we've never had before. Back in the day, we talked about big data. The problem was with big data is we didn't have the processors to be able to break it down like we do today, to be able to provide the insights and the visualizations that we have, right? Mm. So the biggest key is this is market research that is specific to your organization and the individuals who are engaging your organization. So this is incredibly important. Not to mention, you take that data and then what we were just talking about, AI, we allow AI to start to synthesize that data. We audit it, obviously, but then it can start to advise us on different ways, different decisions to be able to make. Because in many cases, you know, labor market information that's out there, we've got information that is inside the actual system, using those two pieces of information can help us better understand, hey, we've got openings in X location. We can't find anybody. Well, that's because if we take a look at the LMI and we go against our needs, they don't exist. So what do we do at that point to be able to create talent pipelines, either in the same location or flip those over to a location where we can see there's actually a talent pool that's there. So data visualization is incredibly cool because we're just, I mean, a step up from monkeys, for God's sakes. We've got to have something, we got to have something easy to look at, right?
Yeah. I mean, neither Chad or I are data scientists.
Aren't you?
And I'm guessing most of the audience members are not data scientists either. I'm going to go out on a limb on that. Yeah. So, you know,
taking a risk.
Two things with data. I mean, there are a myriad of vendors looking to take data, tons of data, and help you better make decisions to recruit and better justify your existence. I mean, LinkedIn's tool alone, think about the data they have with as many profiles as they have and know who's moving where and what locations are trending and where people are getting degrees. Like, LinkedIn has tremendous data. Companies like Eightfold have gotten, you know, bucket loads of money to try to sort of solve the internal talent intelligence game and who's most likely to be your next executives and what track should people be on. So I'm not going to sit here and say I know all the answers to data, because I certainly don't. But there are vendors and really smart people with a lot of PhDs on staff to try to figure this shit out. I would just do your due diligence for the tools that will help you. I do think, however, data is going to be your best tool to justify your existence to the C-suite. And we get the question all the time, like, how do I convince my executives that we're not a cost center, that we're invaluable, et cetera. In most cases, data is going to it's going to tell your story as to why you should get more money, why the money you get is justified, and how you can grow the company. We got a great interview with Jeff Lackey on the show for people that listen. But Jeff commented that, you know, HR, if you don't know how the company makes money and where the company's going, it's hard to tell a story as to why you should exist and why you should have a seat at the table.
Yeah.
And the fact that we're not even to a point where HR folks and recruiters know how we make money and where we're going as a company tells me that we have a long way to go, and data is just something there to use. But we got to get through that really short bridge of, like, how the hell do we make money, and what's our vision for the future? Get there first, and the data can come in after.
Yeah, and we have to get away from, let's put it this way, we have to take time to fill and cost per hire further.
Just going to say, thank you. Those KPIs mean nothing to a board.
They mean nothing to a CEO. They mean nothing to a board. They mean nothing to a CRO, a CMO, none of that. So quit using those stupid metrics. Yes, they are a starting point to be able to get to get you to the actual bottom line numbers that you need to be able to talk about.
100%. I mean, I was just going to say that was 100% spot on. Basically, what we're looking at and what we've been doing the whole time, I mean, even in our company, we've been looking at marketing metrics for a long time. We're looking at, like, cost per click, or, you know, cost per conversion, or time to hire, all those. And those are brilliant as a starting point. But in order to prove your revenue, you know, growth, basically how you keep building upon the bottom line, you have to translate that into the business language. So basically turn those short KPIs into your actual business case. So you're building your business case further to the board. And as we were discussing previously, Chad, we're like, well, you could have your seat, but how do you keep it? Like, how do you really make sure you're supposed to be there? So data is, like, just a bit vague, but turning those numbers into business OKRs, if you may. I mean, that's the whole game changer. So on that subject, I mean, some would even start, like, how do I showcase my revenue growth? How do I support the bottom line? Where would you guys, like, where would they start? Like, in many cases, we could say, like, without TA, there would be no business. But then again, you want to, you know, support that with the data.
Yeah.
So you can, again, back to the Jeff Lackey conversation, we talked a lot about net promoter scores. And there's a direct correlation with your net promoter score, which everyone can Google it, but it's basically how happy your customers are and people that use your services are. A direct high score of that is a direct relation to how much and how successful the company is. Mm-hmm. So that metric alone can start indicating of, like, okay, if we have millions of people coming through our system every year looking for a job, and we're not giving them data, you know, information on, we've got your application, here's why, you know, you were turned down, or here's, you know, we're giving them a bad experience. What does that mean on our net promoter score? And if it lowers it, it means we're making less money. If our employees give us a low net promoter score. So, I mean, just that one thing, and it's something I think a lot of executives understand, marketing for sure understands it. That alone can start telling your story as to why it's important. Because if you have unhappy employees, you're going to have unhappy customers, which means you're going to have an unhealthy business.
Well, and the first thing that TA HR needs to understand is that, you know, they've actually put themselves in this cost center narrative, and TA is the living, breathing heart of every organization. Nothing gets ideated, nothing gets produced, nothing gets sold, nothing gets serviced, and wallet share doesn't increase without TA bringing talent into the fold. Now, how do you do that? First off, you have to understand the company's business and how money is made. Then you have to break it down department by department. You have to understand how what a vital position is for sales and what that costs to have a position open every single day, an open senior exec position or what have you. Same thing with marketing, product, et cetera, et cetera. So when you get into more bottom line talk, then you can start to have the C-suite understand exactly how what you're doing is impacting day-to-day revenue. There's a CEO of a small business that actually said currently she has 30 people on staff. If she had another 15, she could drive $5 million more in top line revenue. Now, when a CEO starts thinking like that, and TA isn't, we know we have a problem.
Yeah.
Joel talked about Jeff Lackey, who was at CVS with over 200,000 employees. 90% of his budget, I think that's a correct stat, 90% of his budget came from other departments. The other departments were internal funding sources because Jeff went to them and said, look, where are your vital positions? What do you need to fill today? Why are they vital? Let's take a look and see how they actually impact the bottom line. If they don't, then it's not an opening. Then it goes away. It doesn't exist. Mm. At that point, he actually had one of his staff members, I think it might've been a chief of staff. She was actually responsible for bringing in $10 million to their bottom line budget-wise from other departments. This is all internal funding.
Yeah, right? Nice.
And then we spoke to Amy Butchko, who is over at SAIC, who has about 180,000 employees. She worked directly with her CRO to budget an entirely new tech stack, because what she did was CRO came to her and said, why are we having issues filling my top exec roles, my revenue drivers?
Yeah.
She came to the actual application process through a hard 45 minutes. And the CRO said, how much is this going to cost? And she said, this, let's do it. So we have to be smarter about building a business case and taking those stupid HR metrics that we have further and make them business metrics so that we can get internal funding. But you have to remember, you get internal funding, you got to produce.
Yeah.
Right. I love the internal funding. That's how you become the business strategist of your company. Like, that's basically where you level up. I love that. If in this process, like if anyone ever struggles, like where would you recommend them to start? Like, who should, are they going to the CEO? Where are they starting?
Well, it depends on the organization and the need, right? So in many cases, one of the biggest, the loudest people in the organization, generally the CRO, because they drive revenue, they're usually full of moxie. You can have those types of conversations with understanding how, and it's usually easy for them to break down what an open position means for their bottom line, because they know what their quota is. They know what their top line revenue needs to be, right? So you can start that. Then also reaching out to, again, people in the space like Jeff Lackey, who is now an advisor, who has dealt with this and actually built these types of programs and been really more of like a chief of staff to the CEO when it comes to business operations. I think it's important to start to open up the discussions in all of the departments and understand that their OKRs are going to be different.
Yep.
Sales from your CMO versus your product versus your CFO. But once you understand that, then you can speak the business lingo and you can make it happen.
Yeah. Quick note, Chad is the CRO of the Chad and Cheese podcast, which makes it for him to be an asshole. I agree with in terms of sometimes you need a translator. Sometimes the discussions about what do we do, how do we make money, where's the vision, where are we going, sometimes that's out of bounds for a lot of people to have that conversation. They're uncomfortable conversations to have typically, but if you feel like mentally you're not there, having a translator, someone that's been doing this for 20, 30, 40 years that has done HR and done the executive and knows how to talk to all those pieces, maybe it makes sense to write some checks to get a translator in there that can bring everybody to the table and figure out and talk everyone's language and then get everyone going in the right direction.
I mean, if you're in TA and you're currently a victim of budget cuts, you're not approaching the problem from the right angle.
That's a good starting point.
You're probably cowering. You're probably in the fetal position in the corner with your thumb in your mouth. That's the problem. We need to stiffen our spine.
Which is not a road to making yourself invaluable. If you're not having those conversations,
we have to quit being the victims and take control and start showcasing business growth. I mean, definitely. Mm-hmm. That's the same conversation as being tech comfortable. You don't have to be an AI engineer, but you have to come in the game. Otherwise, another TA specialist with the tech comfort will take your place. Sure. That's basically where we are. Quoting on quotes. So time is tipping. I love tipping, ticking. Time is not
slip,
the wall.
Slip, slipping away.
Slipping, yeah. I love this sort of conversations. I just like look at you and I feel butterflies in all parts of my body. I'm so excited. I love this topic. If we're to summarize like two of your most important takeaways from this conversation and end with some of the questions, where would you start? Like if anyone's supposed to take anything with them from this session, what would that be?
Blow up your process and go further with regard to metrics. Go past your HR metrics, go toward business metrics. Those are the two things.
I would just say try to take a 30,000 foot view of what you do. We get so involved in the minor details, putting out fires every day. John Lennon has a great quote, life is what happens when you're busy making other plans. And I would just say, take a second, these big picture items that we've talked about, how does your company make money? What's the vision for the future? Having these big conversations, that is what's going to drive the ship. These little fires that you put out every day, before you know it, like you're going to wonder where the hell the time went and did we achieve anything that we wanted to. So my only thing takeaway from this is like, take a step back, take a breath and look at the big picture.
Love it. And there's a lot of questions on this topic. I will actually spend some time after this session and going through them all. But we have one here with Mark. He agrees on the metric comments. So he said, I 100% agree with the metric comments. Overcomplicated reports are boring to produce and present. Yes. If you can't present data quickly and simply, highlight the key points to your audience, forget about it. This is basically quoting like what we've been touching upon. I mean, this is time to hire is vital, but you have to put it in the context. What is time to hire for your tech department?
Well, Mark wasn't hugged a lot as a kid because this isn't even a question. This is I want to get on the show. I just want to get on the show.
I love it, Mark. Thanks, Mark. We appreciate that.
We appreciate you, Mark. You should be on the show.
We appreciate that. Yes, yes. No, I mean, we definitely need to take it further and we need to understand again, you know, if that, again, time to fill is 60 days. Okay, great. Who cares? What does every single day mean to the bottom line? What is the cost to the bottom line every single day? That is what you are trying to solve for. Mm-hmm. That's what we're trying to solve for.
Yeah. I will say that we tend to get in a trap in life where we think everyone looks at the world the way we do. And I would just present to Mark that some people love overcomplicated reports.
Not many.
Some people love diving into numbers and metrics. And it's your job to know who your audience is, whether that is an audience of a job candidate or an audience of someone in your company. And if you find that it's someone that loves data, like you better present some data. If it's someone like me, I want to see pictures and charts and graphs.
Infographic. He wants an infographic.
Paint me a big picture of what's going on because I can't get in the minutiae. Know your audience.
Yeah.
And realize that not everyone thinks just like you.
And the context it's presented to. Love it.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant. Well, presenting to a CFO is much different than presenting to a
CRO. CTO, yeah.
Totally. Quote.
Totally different countries, yeah.
to all the different countries. Yeah. Brilliant. Actually, the time has run out. I'm so thankful for having you guys on the show. I mean, you have to come back. We have to do all the TA techno stuff that we talked about. EDM. We'll see you at breakfast. We'll see you anywhere we can. Potentially, I'm moving to the UK and we can do some cool events. You know, we'll see about that. Look at that. Look out for us coming.
Such a tease.
Such a tease. Yes. So thank you to everyone joining us live and everyone watching this in repeat. And have a great day. We'll see you soon. Brilliant.
Late.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We out.
Wow. Look at you. You made it through an entire episode of the Chad and Cheese podcast. Or maybe you cheated and fast-forwarded to the end. Either way, there's no doubt you wish you had that time back. Valuable time you could have used to buy a nutritious meal at Taco Bell, enjoy a pour of your favorite whiskey, or just watch big booty Latinas and bug fights on TikTok. No, you hung out with these two chuggleheads instead. Now go take a shower and wash off all the guilt. But save some soap, because you'll be back. Like an awful train wreck, you can't look away. And like Chad's favorite Western, you can't quit them either. We out.
How much do you understand the future of finance? I'm Jim Roos, a top 10 banking influencer and host of the podcast Banking Transformed, where we dive deeply into the rapidly evolving world of banking and financial technology. Join me as I interview industry experts, thought leaders, and innovators as they unravel the latest banking trends, disruptions, and game-changing technologies reshaping the world of finance. Redefine your understanding of the banking ecosystem. Subscribe now to Banking Transformed, available wherever you get your podcasts, and now available on YouTube.